Hear the word of the Lord from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and exiles to abstain from the desires of the flesh that wage war against the soul. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles so that, though they may malign you as evildoers, they may see your honorable deeds and glorify God when he comes to judge. The title of my sermon this morning is Aliens. Now, some of the first thing that comes to your mind might be the movies, Alien, and I'm not going there at all. Sorry, kids. But our story in chapter 18 of the story talks about these Jewish young men who are aliens in this foreign land. Basically, what alien means is a person who is in a country who's not a citizen of that country. Often we think of the word alien as being something that's foreign or something that's different to what we know or what we've experienced. Something strange or odd, often we think of it that way too. Something that maybe we have difficulty even understanding or relating to. These are things that are alien. So, let's take a look at chapter 18 of the story. It is called Daniel in Exile. And Daniel and his friends have been taken away into Babylon. Step back just a little bit more before that, and you remember that we had the kings, the heyday of Israel, when King David and Solomon were kings. Then following that, there was a division within the kingdom, and the northern kingdom, after 200 years, Israel was taken into captivity by the Assyrians. About 120-some years later, the southern kingdom, Judah, has also fallen and is taken into captivity, this time by the Babylonians. King Nebuchadnezzar is the king of the Babylonians. So, Jerusalem has fallen. We talked about that last week. And now, the best and the brightest from Judah have been taken into exile. Many of the poorer folks, the folks that the Babylonians didn't really care for, or care about, many of them have been left in Jerusalem and left in Judah. But the best and the brightest have been taken away. And Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that's their Babylonian names, have been taken into the king's court. Here's something that happened. Because of their wisdom, because of their standing and social order, maybe because of their wealth, they're actually brought into the king's court, and they spent 3 years being prepared, being trained. In some ways, you could say it was the enculturation of these young Jewish men in preparation. And after those 3 years, they're brought before the king, and the king has noticed something about them. Matter of fact, it's stated in the scripture that there were 10 times the men of the others who had been taken into captivity and who had been trained in the king's court. So these men were standing out already because of their wisdom. And part of it was their God-given wisdom. One of the things that had happened during their training time was they were brought the best of food from the king's table. And it was given to these men, and Daniel and his friends said, you know, this actually goes against our dietary laws. We don't want to eat this. Well, the person who's in charge of the food for training these young men says, you have to eat it, because it means my head if you don't, and you become weak. So they said, tell you what, give us 10 days. Just give it 10 days. We'll eat just vegetables and water. And then compare us to the other guys. And sure enough, after 10 days, there was a marked difference between these four young men and the others who had been eating from the king's table. And it was an improvement. So, now they're brought before the king. The king is impressed with them. But I want you to keep something in mind, because this all sounds grand and glorious. But I want you to keep something in mind, that these men have been taken away from their home. They have been placed in the king's court against their will. They're in a culture that they don't understand or relate to in any way, shape, or form. They are foreigners. They are aliens here. They're not with their families. Fortunately, they found each other and became close to one another to support and encourage one another. But they are in a place of loneliness in a lot of ways. There to serve the king, no longer to be served, maybe some of them were. And I want you to understand that this type of setting is something that many people experience. Not exactly like that. But we can often find ourselves in places that we don't choose to be. Maybe it's an experience that we didn't choose to experience. Maybe it's coworkers that we are having a hard time dealing with, or a relationship that we're struggling with and we didn't want that relationship. Maybe a place of suffering. We don't want to be there, right? We often find ourselves as aliens or strangers. And the fact is that Scripture in the New Testament tells us that as Christians, this is exactly what we are. We are strangers. We are aliens in this world. We're in a place that doesn't really fit, where we don't really fit. 1 Peter says, I urge you as aliens and exiles to not live like the rest of the world around you, basically. It says, you're going to live in a world that's going to see Christ-like behavior and attitudes, but they're going to see them as odd and foreign and different. And I want you to continue to live in that way anyway. So, how do we live as aliens? I'm going to do a little play on the word here, taking the first letter. First of all, living as aliens speaks to the need for us to have supportive associations. Okay? As an alien, we need supportive associations. Daniel was taken from his family and friends into a foreign place, surrounded by people that he didn't know or who didn't understand Daniel's faith. But he had some friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to name three. And they together created a community of like-minded associations so that they could hold each other up and encourage one another and support one another. And today, together, they refused to, first of all, eat the king's food. And together they refused to bow down to the king's image. Together they faced the king's punishments. And when Daniel was promoted, he even asked that his friends be promoted too. There were these associations, this closeness, these relationships that helped to sustain them and support them through the difficult times. And today we are reminded that we're not meant to live life alone. There is no such thing as a solitary Christian in this world. We're not meant to live that way. We are created by God to live together in community. And indeed, Scripture is all written to people in community. We are meant to live this way. The body of Christ, the church, created by God to be our place of support and encouragement, our faith community. This is our associations that are so important to us. We're to be members of one body and therefore responsible for and in harmony with one another. Believers are called to love one another and to demonstrate to the world that they're disciples of Jesus. We are to be devoted to each other and honor and accept and admonish one another. We are called to serve one another and be kind to one another and to be subject to one another. We are to encourage one another and build up one another, to bear one another's burdens and correct and restore our fallen brothers and sisters. Our associations, our Christian community, is necessary for a vital relationship in Christ and a vital faith in Christ. You see, it goes together, hand in hand. And I encourage you to read all of those one another passages. Each of these slides has some scripture verses if you want to jot them down. The fact is that we are not meant to live alone. And as Daniel and his friends recognized the need for these associations, so do we. The second letter, L, reminds us that as aliens, we are reminded that we need to live peaceably. To live peaceably in this foreign land, wherever we are. Listen, Daniel and his friends chose to live peaceably in Babylon. Remember, they had been at war with Babylon, had been taken captives by Babylon, but they didn't spend their time fighting against those powers. They used tact and they used discernment in dealing with the king's decrees. Even when they were given food from the king's table, they respectfully asked to have a test to show that their food was going to be okay. Daniel used tact and wisdom when dealing with the king's messenger.
He peaceably went to his room, and he prayed as usual, accepting the consequences without anger and without complaint.
Daniel lived peaceably, in Babylon, as did his friends. And today, followers of Christ should be known for people who live peaceably. Shouldn't we?
Yes.
We should be known as people who live peaceable lives. Some would say, well, we're at war with the world, with those who disagree with us, or with those who tell us that we need to sit down and be quiet. We need to fight for our Christian rights. There's a way to do that that is peaceably done. And we've heard about that recently. However, Scripture calls believers to be subject to our government authorities, to be peaceable and considerate of all mankind. And though we are aliens in this world, we are in this world and should represent Christ to an unbelieving world. Paul wrote to the believers in Rome and encouraged them to live peaceably there, if possible, so far as it depends on you, to be at peace with all people, he said. So how much more then? Should we strive to live peaceably with each other as believers? That should be a given. Paul corrected the Corinthian believers who were splintering into various groups. Moreover, our homes should be marked by peace. We should strive to have peace in our marriages and with our children and in our extended families. Peace should be what marks us as Christians, as believers. For was not Christ the Prince of Peace? We are to live peaceably as aliens. Third, the I. Living as aliens reminds us that we still need to hold on to our true identity. Okay, we can live peaceably, but we also need to hold on to our identity. Daniel and his friends, when they were first taken into Babylon, they were given new names. Immediately after being accepted into the king's Babylonian school of culture, these young Hebrews were given new names that were associated actually with Babylonian gods. Right? Daniel was actually renamed Belteshazzar, which, again, these were all related to Babylonian gods. The purpose of this was to assimilate them into their new culture, to separate them from their former culture and beliefs. But Daniel and his friends held on to this identity. Even though the Babylonians forced outward changes, they couldn't force the inward changes on these faithful young men. They held fast to Yahweh, and they maintained their identity that was founded in God. And today, like Daniel, our identity in Jesus Christ should be how we're known. It should be that people know that we are Christians, not just by the way we speak, but by the way we treat one another. People should be able to tell that we follow Jesus. I remember seeing a cartoon that was meant to be somewhat humorous, but it was actually very painful or very sad. These two guys are in heaven, and one of them says to the other, I never would have even guessed that you were a Christian. Isn't it sad that often we're unable to be recognized as followers of Christ? Our identity should be visible. We reside in a foreign land, in this world that raises things like money and greed, and power, the things that go against the cause of Christ. But our identity needs to remain tethered in Christ. Believers are all sons and daughters of God by faith in Christ, and therefore, Scripture says, we're clothed in God. We've been sealed in God and with the Holy Spirit. In Christ, we are complete, and so we resist becoming conformed to the world by the ongoing renewal of our minds, as it says in Romans, as we live as life sacrificed to the Lord. We are meant to be known, and we need to remember who we are as followers of Christ, first and foremost. The next may sound like it goes against that, but it doesn't. Because the E reminds us that living as aliens encourages us to be engaged in our community. Often when we think about our identity, then we're going to say, well, we need to separate ourselves from everyone else. But the fact is that as aliens, we are encouraged to be engaged in what's going on around us. Daniel and his friends, fully engaged in life where they were exiled. They didn't refuse to participate in the social or political life of Babylon. They were more than fully functional citizens. As a matter of fact, they became leaders in this foreign land. They used their knowledge, they used their wisdom and their skills to make Babylon a better place to live. And in doing so, they found favor not only in the king's eyes, but in God's eyes. You see, they were fully engaged in where they lived, in this foreign land. And as Christians, we're to be the same thing. And be engaged wherever you are. Wherever you are. Engage in the social and the political and the daily life of the community in which God places you. Wherever you are. Believers are scattered throughout the neighborhood, throughout a city, throughout the world. Some Christians are in prisons, while others are in positions of great power and privilege. Wherever you are, prosper there. Practice good citizenship. Participate in the political process that shapes your city or state or union. Be involved in the needs of your community. See, some Christians feel that we should withdraw from the world to protect ourselves from defilement. But Jesus didn't live that way, did he? Jesus was right there in the midst of sinners, surrounded by sinners. He engaged in his community. And because of that, his world was changed around him. Now, participation in the community is not the same thing. It's not synonymous with conforming. That's the fear, that we're going to conform to our world. But participation is not synonymous with conformity. We can become leaders in our communities and our workplaces. And what better way to change a business? Or what better way to change a school? Or what better way to change a neighborhood than for foreigners, Christians, believers, to be involved in the workings of those things? Amen. We have talked a lot about being a missional church. And folks, this is what we are called to do. To be in our community, to be in our world, involved and engaged in the things that are going on. Not conforming to what the world says is important, but showing a better way. We can't show a better way from inside a closed bubble. Yes. We have to be out there and engaged in the world, bringing the truth and love of God into our community and world, taking it there physically. You notice Jesus did not ask the Father to take us out of the world, but to protect us from the evil one while we're here as aliens. Finally, we're reminded that living as aliens, that there are some non-negotiables. There are some non-negotiables. Daniel and his friends, Daniel chose his friends wisely. He lived peaceably in a foreign land. He maintained his identity as a man of God, all the while recognizing and respecting the governmental authorities that were placed over him. But he knew that there were some things that he would not conform to. There were some non-negotiables. Daniel and his friends refused to bow down or pay homage as ordered by the king. And these things potentially would have cost them their lives had God not intervened. Because of this, they faced death by fire. They faced death by lions. They knew that God could rescue them, but they did not know that God was going to rescue them. Even in the face of death, they held firm to what they knew was right, to what they believed. And there's some non-negotiables in your life. There's some non-negotiables in your faith. And you need to hold to those things and stand firm in those things. Now, today we may not face death for our faith, but we still need to take a stand for what we believe. Standing firm and putting God first above everything else, even above what other people tell us we should put first. Standing, holding fast to our faith in Jesus. Not ignoring when the Holy Spirit prompts or convicts us. We need to follow the Spirit's leading first. Showing to our neighbor love in spite of what others may say about them or in spite of what they may have done. Forgiving when we are harmed, even when others encourage us to revenge. And the list goes on and on and on. This stand may prompt others to treat us badly or to ostracize us. It may even cost us our job or our social standing. Some of the around the world are imprisoned, and some are even put to death because they would not compromise their faith. As we become fully devoted, mature, followers of Jesus Christ, we are going to identify those things for which we are willing to be persecuted, those non-negotiables, as aliens. We realize that this world is not our home. The old hymn says, but we're just passing through. But folks, right now, we're in the passing through part, right? While we are here, we have been given a mission. We are called to live out Christ's great commission to share the good news of Jesus Christ and God's love to everyone that we meet. This is our first priority. This is why you're still breathing today. To bring the good news of God's love through Jesus Christ. This is our most pressing priority. And so rather than standing at a distance and judging everything that we see that's wrong in our society, Jesus' followers are called to join together to demonstrate peaceable lives, engaging in society to make it a better place, remembering that we are first and foremost children of God as we live faithfully through our beliefs and convictions. And as we live this way, the world around us will see our honorable deeds and give glory to God.